The text is St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 1. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father in glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Here ends our text. So, did the kids wake up early to see what they got for Ascension? You probably had a hard time getting them to sleep last night. What? No? No presents for Ascension? How come? We get presents on the other two festivals celebrating Jesus' Godhead, Christmas and Easter, so why not for Ascension? St. Paul wanted to give Ascension gifts to the Ephesians. He says he never ceased asking that God may give them the knowledge of what the Ascension means for them. Give is in the optative. That's the strongest Greek way of saying Paul wants to give the gift. Since Ephesians is Holy Scripture, it's not just to the Ephesians the Holy Spirit wants to give these gifts. It's to you too. The first gift He would give you is the cow jumping over the moon. You recognize that as a line from the nursery rhyme, Hey Diddle Diddle. That rhyme dates to 1765. Unlike other rhymes, it doesn't conceal political points, but conveys fantastic images to the delight of kids. There's the cat and the fiddle, there's the little dog laughing, there's the dish running away with the spoon, and the cow jumping over the moon. That last image has stuck with me from childhood. A cow doing the fantastic thing of leaping over the moon. Paul would give us the fantastic in our text. Paul wants us to know forever, what is the hope to which God has called you? This is a knowing which can only happen if God reveals it. And know is in the perfect, which means it knows now and forever. So what is this hope to which God has called you and wants you to know? Is it a hope for a happy family? A provided for retirement? How about the hope for peace on earth? I know, it's the hope of health. Because after all, if you have your health, you have everything, right? No. These sorts of things will be a cow in a barn, not one jumping over the moon. Do you think God sent His only begotten Son so you might hope for what people ordinarily hope for? Do you think He sent Him to the cross to pay for your health insurance or your retirement? Do you think God the Father raised the Son on the third day so you would have hope for a good day, a good week, a good month, a good year? Do you think the man Jesus ascended into heaven to call you to a hope tied to this fading, falling, decaying earth? Bring in the timpanis, sound the trumpets, hear Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. The hope of your calling is as fantastic as a cow jumping over the moon. Your hope is that because Jesus kept the law and paid for your not keeping it, your sins have been forgiven and broken are the chains of the sins that enslaved you. Your hope is that because the man Jesus was raised from the dead, you, joined to Him by water and the Word, are going to be raised as well. Your hope is that because the man Jesus was crowned the victor over the devil, you are who are joined to His body and blood reign with Him. Your hope is better than Mac Davis could whine about in his song. Your hope is not just for a good day, but for a guilt-free eternity, an everlasting life, an eternal victory over all the wrongs and wrongdoers that ever were. Your hope is nothing less than a cow jumping over the moon. Actually, it's more than that. It's the moon itself. I'll give you the moon is an expression. Interestingly, a 2002 American dictionary says it means to make extravagant promises, while a 2006 British one says it means to promise something impossible. As extravagant or as impossible as it may be, Paul would give us the moon. The Holy Spirit, through the words of Paul, would forever give to us the knowledge of the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. Can you imagine being an heir of Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, or Michael Dell? No matter how much you would get from them, it's still far short of the moon that our text promises. The inheritance the man Jesus won for flesh and blood by living a perfect life under the constant scrutiny of men, angels, devils, and Almighty God is far richer than billions of dollars. The inheritance the man Jesus won for flesh and blood by dying their death under the judgments of God is far richer than anything you could ask or even think. In fact, the inheritance the man Jesus won and distributes to his saints once he's enthroned in heaven has never been seen by human eyes, has never been heard by human ears, or has ever entered into the thoughts of a human mind. As Paul says in our text, the riches of his inheritance are not only for this age, but for the eternal one to come. It's promising the moon. It's extravagant riches. It's impossible riches. Do you think God the Son would descend into flesh and blood just to make you wealthy, healthy, or even happy in this life? To do that doesn't take a miracle. It doesn't even take Almighty God doing anything. There are plenty of people made wealthy by lotteries, made healthy by doctors, and made happy by others. Something far richer was afoot when God the Father sent the Son into the Virgin's womb. God loved the world he created, but due to man's sin, it was lost to him forever. By rebelling against him, the world had become the devil's realm. He was, as Scripture calls him, the God of this age, the ruler of this world. God could have balled the whole cosmos up like we do a piece of paper and threw it in the trash can. But God loved the world, even fallen as it is, too much to do that. So God sent his Son to do what the world couldn't. Every must, every have to, every should, every ought, every better, Jesus had kept perfectly in place of a world that couldn't and didn't think it needed to. Then every sin from every sinner that ever lived or ever would live was placed on Jesus and whipped, beaten, mocked, punished, damned, and judged right there. Jesus finished paying the debt by breathing his last, but it wasn't his last. Because Jesus had never broken any law, sin could not convict him, and therefore death and the devil had no claim to him. Because Jesus had finished paying for all sins, death and devil couldn't hold this man who was also God. So up he rose from the grave, and up he ascended to be welcomed into heaven. So what riches has the ascended Jesus left you? What is your inheritance? Wouldn't it be rich to inherit a mountain lake for a lifetime? How much more to inherit water that gives us salvation for eternity? Wouldn't it be rich to inherit a deed to a mansion till you die? How much more to inherit the words of absolution, which by forgiving your sins give you the deed to a heavenly mansion forever? Wouldn't it be rich to inherit a fountain of youth so you could live forever young in this aging world? How much richer to be heir to the body and blood of God, which eating and drinking in faith give not only forgiveness and life here, but eternal youth for eternity. For ascension, Ephesians 1 would give you a cow jumping over the moon itself, and to the moon and back. Many people feared the first moon landing would be a failure. In fact, President Nixon had his speechwriter, William Sapphire, write a speech in case it failed. The first line read, "Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay to rest in peace." Later on, the speech continued, For every human being who looks up at the moon in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind. Of course, the moon landing was a success, and this is what President Nixon said live to the two astronauts on the surface of the moon. He said, "Because of what you have done, the heavens have become part of man's world." Well, neither men crashing on the moon or even going to the moon and coming back make another world forever mankind or the heavens part of man's world. Jesus, however, did just that. As true God, heaven always belonged to him, and as a perfect man, they belonged to him too. Heaven didn't belong to us fallen children of men at all. The man Jesus, by taking our place both under the law's requirements and its judgments, won the right for us flesh and blood men to call another world, the heavenly one, our own. Because these Christian truths are probably very familiar to you, you take them for granted. Paul would give you the gift of forever knowing the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward you by pointing you to the ascension. God takes a man, a flesh and blood man, with a beating heart, breathing lungs, seeing eyes, hearing ears, a man not unlike you, a man who understands you and has your best interests at heart. God takes the man, Jesus, and seats him in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. The man Jesus is above angels, archangels, the seraphim, the cherubim, Lucifer, devils, and demons. God the Father has placed all things under the feet of this man. Your life, your death, your future, your hopes, your rich inheritance. All of these are under the feet of this man, Jesus. Your Savior, your God, your brother. You're still not getting the immensity of this gift. It's seen not only in this man going to the moon, but coming back. The man who has won by his innocent life and guilty death the other world for flesh and blood, the man whom God the Father exalted above all things everywhere, has been given back to the church as head. And not just to the church in heaven, but to the church on earth too. Imagine if on the moon, the astronauts had found a new perpetual power source. Imagine if they found untold riches. Imagine if they found things which made what had been impossible on earth all of a sudden possible. Imagine if they had brought these possibilities, these riches, this power back to earth. What a celebration there would have been. Maybe one worthy of gift giving. Well, by Jesus' ascension, he planted humanity's flag in heaven and sent his spirit back to earth on Pentecost with all the gifts of heaven. First, let us open his ascension gifts of word and sacrament. And then let us celebrate like it's Christmas or Easter. Move over Christmas presents and Easter baskets. Here come ascension gifts. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.